Hi, everyone. I'm Ethan. The day I graduated high school, my dad told me he needed to talk to me. He said, "Are you planning to keep living in this house?" I told him I had nowhere else to go. "I've been taking care of you for years. You need to start working if you want to stay in this house. You either start bringing in some money or find yourself another place to live." I graduated from high school with a high GPA. I wanted to go to college to be able to get a good job later. My family is not doing well financially. I obviously know this, so I was thinking, I'll get a part-time job, and I won't be a burden to them. But working part-time meant I could only cover my own expenses. There was no way I could bring in enough money to make my dad happy. So I had to drop out of college. A friend's father owned a moving company. I started working there. They specialized in moving furniture from luxury homes. All of our clients were rich families. Since the furniture was really valuable, we were packing and carrying it very carefully. It was a really stressful job. I had to be super careful all the time. If I were to cause the slightest damage, I would have to work for months without pay. Like my mom, I was giving all the money I was making to my dad. But our financial situation had not changed. We could never pay the rent on time. It was all my dad's fault. He was spending a lot of money on himself. As soon as I started working, he bought himself a better car. My mom had been complaining about him blowing through money for years. But my dad would just get angry. We couldn't say anything because we were scared of him. One day, we were helping a wealthy client move as usual. The lady who owned the house called me over. We went down to the basement together. She showed me a few pieces of furniture. "Pack these up and take them to the truck. The rest is garbage. You can put it all in the trash," she said. First, I carried the items the lady showed me to the truck. Then I started filling up a big bag with the things I was supposed to discard. I came across a roll of paper. Just as I was about to throw it out, I got curious and unrolled it. It was a charcoal drawing. It was simple, but very pretty. I couldn't just throw it away. I went up to the lady. "This is beautiful. Do you really want us to throw it out?" I said. She took a look at the drawing. My grandfather loved art. "It must be his. You're right. Throwing it away would be disrespectful to his memory," she said. She rolled up the drawing and put it in her bag. My phone rang while I was at another house a few weeks later. It was my boss. "A client wants to see you. She's in our office now. Can you come over?" he said. I was really scared. Was something lost during a move? Or did we damage some furniture? I thought about all the bad things that could have happened until I got to the office. I stepped into the boss's office. The lady who'd been waiting for me got up with a big smile on her face. "You remember that drawing you brought me instead of throwing it away? It turned out to be a portrait of my grandfather, and it was made by Picasso. They met in a bar in Madrid. Picasso really liked my grandfather and wanted to give him a gift. He asked the waiter for a pen and paper and drew his portrait. We obviously didn't want to sell it because of its sentimental value. However, my husband and I decided to give you a small reward. If it hadn't been for you, this drawing would have ended up in the trash," she said. Then she handed me an envelope. I looked at my boss. "I'm proud of you, Ethan," he said with a smile. I was a little embarrassed but took the envelope from her. I left the office and sat on a bench outside. I wanted to know what was inside the envelope. I opened it. There was a check. I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw the amount on it. It was almost 5 times my annual salary. I thought of my dad right away, and of course, my joy quickly turned into sadness. If I gave this money to him, he would spend it all on himself and not on our family. Both my mom and I had been stunned when we saw a gold chain around his neck one day. It was preposterous of him to spend money on something like that when we were having trouble paying our bills. Put yourself in my shoes. If you had such a father and came into some money, would you give it to him? One of my best friends, Travis, is studying economics in college. I gave him a call. I told him I had some money and asked him how to invest it. He's smart as a whip. "You called me at the right time. I've been trading tech stocks for a while. It's going really well. If you want, I can do that for you as well, but I have to tell you, it's quite risky. There's no middle ground in the stock market. You either lose big or win big, he said. I trusted him. And anyway, that money had fallen into my lap. I'm gonna give you half. The rest will be enough for me to live on, I told him. But unfortunately, things didn't go as well as Travis expected. He quickly burned through the money I gave him. He kept calling me to apologize. I didn't even understand why we were losing because I didn't know the first thing about the stock market. But as I said, I trusted Travis. I gave him the rest of my money as well. I got this money because I was lucky. Something tells me I will get lucky again, I said. It turns out I was right. This time, Travis was constantly calling me to give me good news. We were both rich. You know what's really weird? I was getting cash from Travis since I didn't even have a bank account. But where would I keep all that cash? I thought about it for a while and finally decided to hide it in cardboard boxes in our attic. When I'd fill up a box, I'd get another one. My dad would totally lose it if he found out. Our attic was stuffed with money. So much so that I didn't even know how much money I had. One night, I decided to count all of it. It took me until the morning. As the sun came up, I realized I was a millionaire, and this was only a fraction of my total wealth. I quit my job the next day. I told my boss I had decided to go to college. But it wasn't true. I had begun to think I didn't even need a college education anymore. Every morning, I'd leave the house as if I were going to work and hang out with Travis or in a coffee shop. In the evening, I'd come back home as if returning from work. After a while, I bought myself a car just because the attic was too full and I had to get rid of some cash. I actually don't like sports cars very much, but I picked one of the most expensive sports cars so that I could make some room in the attic. There were still a lot of boxes. I bought a huge house to get rid of even more money and make space in the attic. And now I had a place to go during the day as well. You might be wondering why I didn't leave home, why I still continued to live with my family this whole time. I didn't want to leave my mom and my sister alone with my dad. I was sure he was going to treat them worse once I was gone. One evening, my dad said, "Call your mother and sister. I want to talk to all of you." A few minutes later, we were all standing in front of him. "I quit my job today. I've been working for years to keep this family going. I took care of you, but I'm tired now. From now on, I'm not going to work. You're going to look after me," he said with a smirk. Then he turned to my sister. "Sheila, you're quitting school too. The free ride you've been getting in this house is over. Everyone has to bring in money," he said. Sheila burst into tears straight away. My mom couldn't keep silent. "I've been working for years just like you. This is all nonsense. Won't you feel any shame loafing around the house while we toil away?" she screamed. When my dad started getting mad and charging towards my mom, I took her by the arm and led her outside. "Mom, don't be upset. I'll save both of you from this man. Give me some time," I said. My mom thanked me, thinking that I was saying these things just to comfort her. After everyone was asleep, I went up into the attic. I took a few photos when the place was filled to the brim with money. Then I spent all night moving the money to my new house. Actually, I should have done this earlier. I kept putting it off, thinking there was no rush. I came back the next morning. I parked my car in front of the house. I honked the horn. First, my mom and sister came out, then my dad. All three of them were staring at me and at the car. I asked my dad, "Do you know whose car this is?" "How should I know? I guess it's your boss's," he said. "No, Dad. This car is mine. I bought it with my own money," I said. My dad couldn't say anything. He was literally speechless. That morning, I'd gone to a print shop and had them print out the photo I took of the attic in poster size. I showed it to my dad. "Does this place look familiar to you?" I asked. Dad stuttered,
Is that our attic? Whose money is that?"
"Just like this car, I earned all that myself," I said. My dad was stunned. "I'm your father. That money is mine too," he yelled. I started to laugh as he turned to walk back to the house. He thought the money was still in the attic. "The attic is empty now. I moved all of it to my own house last night," I said. As a last resort, my dad started buttering me up. "You're my favorite child. I've always been good to you. I'm sure you love me too," that kind of thing. But we both knew none of this was true.
It's been 4 months since this happened. Right now, I live with my mom and my sister. My dad calls one of us every single day. Of course, no one answers. To me, he texts, "My dearest son, I love you so much. I miss you a lot." To my sister, he writes, "My beautiful princess, you got me wrong. I'm gonna send you to college." He can't find us since he doesn't know where we live. I'm sure he is really mad at us, but he hides it well, because all he can think about is the money he saw in that photo. He is so naive to think that he could fool me with his fake words of love. I'm so happy I left him without a penny and got out of that house after all he's done to us. I think he more than deserves it.
Hi everyone, my name is Isabel. A few years ago, my dad had a heart attack at work and passed away. His sudden death changed our lives forever. My mom had no job and no marketable skills either. We had some money saved up from when my dad had been working. At first, we were getting by on that, but soon that money ran out and things got bad. We weren't able to pay our bills. One day, my mom said to me, "Isabel, I want to talk to you about something important. Our landlord Ted wants to marry me. He divorced his wife 4 years ago. He has 2 daughters, but they live with their mom. I don't know him that well, but he seems like a good person. I'm going to say yes. I'm doing this for both of us. Please try to understand me." My mom is a really beautiful woman. I had only seen this man once before. He's 10 or 15 years older than my mom. He knew we were having money problems since we weren't able to pay the rent. He was trying to take advantage of my mom. No matter how much I pleaded with her, my mom wouldn't listen to me and married him. As I got to know him better, it became clear that my mom had made a big mistake. Ted was an arrogant man who talked about his money all the time. He was living on the rent money he got from his properties. He had no other job. He was home all day. He was clearly using my mom as his maid. For example, every Sunday, he would hand my mom a list. It spelled out one by one all the dishes my mom had to cook for lunch and dinner that week. He would grade each dish after every meal. And he wasn't very generous with the grades either. The worst part was that the whole time he would talk about how good his ex-wife's cooking was. My mom really wanted me to get along with Ted. I decided I would try to do my best. I saved up my allowance to buy him a nice pen for his birthday. My mom was insisting that I call him Dad. I wrote a little note saying, "To my dad, with love," and put it inside the gift box. Ted frowned when he saw the note. "I think it's too early for you to call me Dad. First, you need to prove to me that you are my daughter," he said. I was so upset. I glanced at my mom. She felt terrible too. It was around that time that something happened that made things even worse. I woke up one morning and saw that there was another girl around my age at home. It was Ted's younger daughter, Pia. She'd had a huge fight with her mom, so she had decided to move in with us. I'd just gotten a stepfather, and now I had a stepsister too. At first, I thought maybe we could be friends, but unfortunately, Pia turned out to be just like her dad. One evening, she yelled to my mom, "Your food is too greasy. I gained weight because of you." But she was already chubby when she arrived. I think that she's been like that since she was a kid. She made that up just to blame my mom. The thing that annoyed me the most about Pia was that she was extremely jealous. She was so jealous of me, and she didn't even feel the need to hide it. I'll give you one example. I had an orange dress. One day, my mom had commented, "This dress looks good on you," and I said, "Yes, I love it too." When I wanted to put on that dress again a few weeks later, I saw that there was a huge hole right on the front. Furious, I went to Pia and screamed, "Did you do this?" She smirked and said, "Of course I did. Who else?" After Pia began living with us, Ted started treating me even worse. Pia didn't go to college because her grades were bad. I, on the other hand, was a good student. I wanted to study psychology in college. I was talking to my mom about it. She went and told Ted. He came to me and said, "Don't even dream of going to college. You're not smart enough for that." That night, I cried until morning. I had to get out of that house, but I couldn't see any way of doing that. One day, the miracle that I needed happened. My phone rang. The person on the line said, "I'm your grandmother. I would like to meet you and your mom if you let me." We met up the next day. When my dad was only 4 years old, my grandmother abandoned him. He never forgave her for that. In the years that followed, she tried to get in touch with him many times, but my dad refused to communicate with her. She told us all about this in tears. He was right because I'd left him. I have immense regret. However, unfortunately, it's not possible to turn back time. My grandmother had just recently found out that my dad had died. She thought we might be able to use some help with money, so she tracked us down and finally reached me. She told us, "My second husband was very wealthy. I lost him last year. I have no one to share this fortune with. Do you want to move in with me?" she asked. My mom was pregnant at that time. She said, "I have a new family now. But I know Isabel is not happy. She can live with you if she likes. My grandmother seemed like a really nice person. Even if she wasn't, I'd still move in with her, since my stepfather and stepsister were making my life unbearable." I agreed right away. That night, I said goodbye to my mom and left home. My grandmother was really wealthy. She lived in a magnificent mansion. The best part was that she was even kinder than I thought. She kept telling me, "I feel like I've been born again. Isabel, I'm so grateful to you for making me feel this way. I'll send you to the best schools. Eventually, all this will belong to you anyway." I didn't care about being rich. I was at peace now. And that was more valuable to me than all the money in the world. That summer, something unexpected happened. My grandmother suddenly died after an accident. She went out on a tour of the Greek islands with her close friends. While swimming in the sea, a poisonous fish stung her. They didn't make it to the hospital in time. She died on the way. I was incredibly sad. She had once told me, "When I die, I'd like you to build a school so that my name can live on." I immediately got to work to make her wish come true. My mom and I talked on the phone a lot. She had her baby. I had a brother now. I think she wasn't happy at all, and her husband continued to treat her badly, but she still never mentioned anything to me. I told her, "Come live here with me. You don't have to put up with that man." But she wouldn't listen to me. My mom is a good-natured person and a loyal wife. Ted was taking advantage of her qualities. One day, my mom called me. She sounded very sad. "Your stepdad wants to visit you," she said. "No way! I don't want anything to do with him," I yelled. My mom said, "Isabel, this is really important. Will you please see him for me?" I couldn't say no. I wondered what he wanted from me. Ted came over the next day. He wasn't that smug, arrogant man anymore. When he said, "Isabel, we don't get along too well, but I still like you very much," I couldn't help but smirk. That was an outright lie. Still, I didn't say anything. "Perhaps your mother has told you. My daughter Pia has a very rare, very severe type of muscle disorder," he went on. I was shocked. I said, "No, I had no idea." Apparently, my mom had kept this from me so as not to upset me with her own troubles. My stepdad looked into my eyes and said, "My daughter is dying, Isabel. I came here to ask for your help." I knew Ted had a lot of money, so I was confused. "What exactly do you want from me?" I asked. "There's a drug for Pia's condition. A single dose will be enough to cure her, but this is the most expensive drug in the world. It's only produced for 20 people every year. I sold all my properties, but I still only have enough money to cover half of its cost. Please help me with the rest. My daughter can't move at all right now. When it gets to her heart muscle, she'll be dead. I beg you, help us." After he said all that, my stepdad started sobbing. Neither Ted nor Pia is a good person. You know this already. Ted ruined both my and my mom's life. My grandmother saved me from that house. What would have happened to me if I'd stayed there? Would you help them if you were in my place? You probably would. Without even thinking, I told him, "I'll give you the money you need," but I couldn't stop myself. "I don't think you deserve it, but I'll still help you," I continued. Ted started crying again. "You're right. I don't deserve it. I know it as well as you," he said. I was so sad to see Pia. She was all skin and bone. She couldn't even move her eyeballs, but she was conscious. I whispered into her ear, "You will be fine, but please be a better person in your new life." Even though I didn't want to say things like that, I couldn't help myself. The drug was really expensive, but just as my stepdad had said, a single dose was enough to cure her disorder. Her condition is improving every day. Even though she still can't talk, I can see her thanking me with her eyes. Meanwhile, my stepdad, Ted, changed a lot. Since he was so deeply shaken by this, he's no longer hostile. My mom, of course, is really happy about his new behavior. I'm busy with the construction of the school that I'm building in my grandmother's name. My stepfather comes to help with the construction, not expecting anything in return. I don't think I'll ever have a close relationship with him, but at least now I can rest easy, knowing that he will no longer treat my mom badly.
Hi, friends. My name is Ava. I'm 17. Unfortunately, I don't see my family anymore. I don't pick up the phone when they call. I'll tell you why in a little while. All I ask is that you let me know what you think after hearing my story. Who do you think is right, them or me? My parents began dating during their freshman year of college. My mom got pregnant unexpectedly. They were really young, but their parents made them get married. I was born soon after the wedding. Because they were still students, they had neither the time nor the money to take care of me. My mom's parents said they could take me in and look after me. But back then, they lived in another city, really far away. My parents used that as an excuse to never come visit me. When I started speaking, I called my grandparents, Mom and Dad. I didn't see my parents again until I was 6 years old. When I found out they were coming, I was so excited I couldn't sleep. Until then, we had only talked over the phone. I was so curious about them. Did my mother have long hair or short? Did my father wear glasses? Was I supposed to call them Mom and Dad from now on? I was up all night with all these childish questions in my head. I remember the moment I saw them very clearly. My mom gave me a big hug, but my dad only said, "You've grown so much," and just stroked my hair. I thought they were going to take me home and that I was going to live with them from now on. But that wasn't their plan. They told my grandma, "Ava is so happy with you. We'll keep working for a little longer and try to make things better. We'll take her to live with us the first chance we get." But for some reason, that chance never came. 4 years passed. I'd lost all hope and stopped waiting for them. Unfortunately, one evening my grandmother suddenly passed away. My parents came. They decided to put my grandfather in a nursing home. Now they had no choice but to take me with them. After a while, I figured out why they never wanted me all these years. Even though I was their child, we had never developed an emotional bond because we'd never spent any time together. They didn't feel close to me, and I didn't feel close to them. We lived in the same house, but we were strangers. They almost never bothered to talk to me. After a while, I began to feel like a parasite in their house. I had a hard time calling them Mom and Dad because I didn't feel like they were my parents. 2 years passed like this. I wasn't happy at all. I missed my loving grandparents so much. One day, I had noticed that my mother's belly had grown. When my mother saw me staring at it, she said, "You're going to have a brother soon." At that moment, I got really upset. Can you believe it? My mother didn't even bother telling me she was pregnant. I realized once again that my parents really didn't care about me. When my brother Ethan was born, it got even worse because I saw how warm and loving they could actually be as parents. My mother left her job to spend all her time with my brother. And even though my father was really tired when he came back from work, he would play with Ethan for hours, and I could see that he really enjoyed it. On the weekends, they would go out with Ethan and stay out all day. Of course, they never took me with them. Before they'd leave, my mother would tell me, "I put Ethan's clothes in the washing machine. Wash them and put them in the dryer. And don't forget to iron your dad's shirts." Normally, I would have no problem doing that. But it hurt me so much that chores were the only reason she was communicating with me. Thankfully, I wasn't alone. At least I could share what I was going through with my best friend, Harper. She really helped me get through this. I would go to her place every time I was feeling down since she lived really close to me. Even though I kept telling her about the same things, she always listened. She would stroke my hair without saying a word as I cried, and that really comforted me. Harper ended up doing me a huge favor at that time. I'm still grateful to her for it. Her family had to move abroad because of her father's job at the State Department, but Harper didn't want to go with them, so her parents found her a boarding school. Harper asked me, "Do you want to come to the boarding school with me?" I told her, "That's a great idea, but I don't know what my folks will say." At the same time, I kind of knew they would be really into the idea. And that's exactly what happened. When I told my parents, they looked at each other. They tried not to show it, but I could tell they were thrilled. My father said, sure, you can go if that's what you would like. My mother just nodded. She was trying really hard to hide her smile. Their reaction didn't upset me because I knew them well enough by then. I was just happy I wouldn't have to put up with them anymore. Boarding school instantly changed my life. Our school was located in a forest. I finally felt at peace. Harper and I went on long walks together. We had just started hearing about TikTok then. It wasn't as huge as it is now. Harper and I started a channel together. We would make new videos on our forest walks and post them. We were staying on top of all the big trends. Our follower count was going up. There was only one problem. Most people at school looked down on us when they heard about TikTok. Unfortunately, Harper would get upset about it. But I was used to this kind of thing from my family. It used to be Harper who comforted me, and now it was me comforting her. That's how we kept making videos. As TikTok got more popular, we began reaching more people. The best part is, after a while, brands began taking TikTok seriously. We were getting collaboration proposals. At first, the rates were really low, but soon the pay got better. Now I was making good money, and this gave me an incredible boost of self-esteem. With the money I earned, I was going to be able to pay for college after I graduated. Meanwhile, Harper and I had become legitimate TikTok stars. A TV channel DM'd us to say they wanted to make a news piece about us. The school gave us the okay, and we did it. In the piece, they called us high schoolers who made it on TikTok. At some point during the interview, the reporter asked, "How much are you making from TikTok?" Harper jokingly said, "We don't want to give you a number, but we're definitely making much more than our parents." We laughed about it during the shoot. I couldn't have predicted it at the time, but that sentence would completely change my life. Even though it only aired on a small channel, my father saw the story. Ever since I arrived at the boarding school, my mom would only text me once a month to ask, "Is everything okay?" And I'd write back, "All's good." That was the extent of our communication. My father never even called once. But he called immediately after seeing the news story. "Is what your friend's saying true? Are you really making a lot of money on TikTok?" "I'm making something," I said. I was upset that he was calling me about money. He said, "How much are you making? You're not even 18 yet. You should give that money to me. I'm your father." I'd heard enough. I said, "Did you just realize that you're my father when you heard I had money? I used to think that you were my father too, but over the years, you taught me that you, in fact, were not," and I hung up on him. He called again many times, but I didn't pick up. Then my mother started calling too. I didn't answer her calls either. They sent me a million texts. They were shamelessly going on about money. Under normal circumstances, I could have sent them all the money I had, but I was so pissed they were after my money that I promised myself I would never give them anything, not even one penny. That evening, Harper and I did some research online. According to what we read, if I had been living with my parents, they would have had the right to take all my money. But if you don't live in the same house, then it's up to the judge to decide. So if you can convince the judge, then the parents can't touch your money. The next day, my father came to my school, but there was a surprise waiting for him. I wasn't at school. I figured he would do something like this. So Harper and I got up really early in the morning and left school. Harper's father got us an appointment with a lawyer. We went to the lawyer's office. I told her everything. She told me, "You were raised by your grandparents. If you move back in with your grandfather, your parents can't touch you, because from what I understand, all your parents care about right now is your money. Once we prove that in court, the judge will rule in your favor. After that, you can live with your grandfather, and no one can make a claim on your money." That's exactly what happened. My lawyer, Felicia, saved me from my greedy family. They can't touch me anymore. With some of the money I made, I bought a nice house where I could live with my grandfather. But I had to leave boarding school when we moved there, so Harper ended up moving in with us. Now we go to a new school together. By the way, I'm sure you want to know what our TikTok account is. But due to legal reasons, it's not possible for me to share this with you. I can only give you a hint. Recently, my grandfather has been making appearances in many of our videos. Thank you for listening to my story. I want to remind you of my initial question. Who do you think is right, my parents or me? Please let me know in the comments. See you.